You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we got to keep going with this spicy Tuesday, the spicy tuna roll. It's Taco Tuesday. Taco Rustico should be part of your day, or any of our other fine, amazing Mexican cuisine places in this town. And I'm serious about that last part there that I said. Republicans, whatever you got going on, go figure it out and together. Okay. And if somehow you don't feel like you got justice, you can come back on the show. But I'm sick of this circular firing squad crap. Okay. Remember, again, I told you, go on Garrett's show if you want a bunch of over emotional thin material. Go over. I'm okay with that. Go, just run. I'm okay with you. This show has always been about making Tucson a better place. That's what it's always been about. Okay, and Republicans shooting each other. You guys are some of you people who are going after you. This is the most energy I've ever seen you put. You've put triple the energy in killing Shelly Keis than you have getting people elected. So cut the crap. So if you guys want to have good adult conversations, go have it. Shelly reached out to Antonori twice, once by a text and once by phone call, and he won't call her back. What am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do with that? That's where we're at. Oh, we got a damn Christmas party 7 days from now, too. Anyway, let's go to the phones. I'm sure he hung up after I just said that. We have governor candidate Matt Salmon. Matt, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris.
How's the run going right now? What? I mean, you've been doing this for a while, but you're running statewide. What's Matt Salmon's learning moments here in the last few months?
Oh, lots and lots of them. I'm just sitting here in a car outside of a church in Payson, Arizona, where I'm going to speak to a bunch of veterans as soon as I finish this. Last night I was in Williams, Arizona, and I got to tell you, we got one big beautiful state. And we got more freedom, more opportunity, more growth than any other state in the nation, and we want to keep it that way. The other thing I'm learning very close and up close and personal, I've been to Tucson in the last 5 months probably over 10 times, been to Prescott about 15 times, and Yuma 9 or 10 times. I mean, I've been all over the state numerous times, probably given close to 250 speeches in the last 5 months, and listening to different people and what's on their mind. And one of the big things, and I've said this before on your show, Chris, but people expect leaders in Arizona to look out for all of Arizona and not just Maricopa County. And that's coming across loud and clear. And what works in Maricopa County doesn't necessarily work in Tucson or Yuma or Prescott or in Mojave County. And we got to come up with some ideas and some things that benefit everybody in the state. And it's coming across loud and clear.
Well, of course, with the way the population has grown and the way the districts are going to get done, right, that concentration in that Maricopa Pinal is going to be greater than ever. So
right.
what are some of the things that you think would, like education, right? It's such a tough, you know, the state legislature is not in an enviable position, right? They put the money out, but then they give it to school boards that who the hell know what they're going to do with it. But there's also right. this gulf between doing education in the cities and then in rural Arizona. What's a Matt Salmon idea to bridge that gap a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you what, I really think that one of the biggest and most important ideas, especially after what we saw during COVID last year and the schools shutting down and the parents basically in the lurch and kids being the last on everybody's agenda. So many kids were lost during the process, and so many of them left the public schools and never came back. And we've got to figure out a way to empower parents more to be able to be making decisions regarding their kids' education. I'm a big choice in education person. I believe that the tax dollars ought to follow the kid. I think it's the only thing. There's a lot of things I want to talk about in education. I could spend the whole show and probably half the day talking about it. But one of the most important things we can do is give parents the opportunity to pick the right educational setting for their kids and be able to have the tax dollars follow the kid. I really think that the only way that schools are ever going to wake up, that these school boards and these school districts are ever going to wake up and understand the power of parents is when parents actually are given the power and they can take their tax dollars and go to whatever school, whether it's homeschooling, whether it's a parochial school, whether it's a charter school, whatever the case may be, parents need to be put in charge.
So I've been on a board, I just got off recently of the Lehman Academies here in Southern Arizona. And the problem is, of course, is this is something that's in, you have entrepreneurs that are taking the risk in relation to building
right.
charter schools. So how do you incentivize and empower entrepreneurs to get out of, because they're always looking for the sweet spot, right? There's always,
right.
you're looking for an income demographic because it's also easier with maybe a one parent stays home kind of situation instead of dual income. And then there's an affluence to it. So how do we empower or encourage those entrepreneurs to take a look at either impoverished areas, rural areas? What's something that could be done from the state side, Matt Salmon, to make that happen?
You know, Chris, I don't know that I've come up with a silver bullet for that, but as I've gone around the state and I've talked to different folks, it is clear that charter schools are not really an option for a lot of folks in rural Arizona, because it's not, like you said, in that sweet spot. And for an entrepreneur to be willing to put his own capital, his or her own capital at risk and go in and form a charter school, it's not as much worth it. So we're going to have to get innovative, whether, you know, I know in a lot of neighborhoods and communities across Arizona, one of the phenomena that happened last year was these pods, neighborhood pods, growing up in areas where parents got together and decided that they would homeschool their kids, but they would do it collectively and kind of, you know, put the responsibility for different areas of education on parents that had more of an expertise in that area. So there's all kinds of ideas. I was one of the original sponsors back in 1993 of the charter school legislation. And I think it was a great idea. And I think Arizona has really proliferated and done a great job with it. But I think in many ways, like you said, Chris, the rural communities are left out, and we have got to figure out a way to empower more ideas. And the rural communities are begging for this. They want options. And I do believe that we're big enough and smart enough to figure this out. And it is the top of my agenda.
We're hanging out with Matt Salmon. He's running for governor. Questions or comments, 790-2040. Let's switch over. We're going to have the feds and the World Health Organization. We're going to have variants coming at us every 14 months now.
Omicron.
Which I do believe.
Omicron. What?
I do believe that was the villain in the Transformers movie in 1986 was Omicron. But you know, as a potential governor of Arizona, you know, what's a Matt Salmon attitude towards what's going on in this world? I know you're friends with DeSantis, so I pray you tell me you're going to be like just like Ron DeSantis.
Well, you know what? I'm a little bit taller than he is, and hopefully, you know, a little better looking. No, Ron is one of my best friends. We started the Freedom Caucus together when we were congressmen together in Washington D.C. And as people ask me, they say, which, you know, governor do you think you'd be most like? And that's a no-brainer. It would be like Ron DeSantis. I truly do believe in the power of freedom, and I believe in the power of free markets. And I believe that the best solution when it comes to these kinds of crises is to default in the name of freedom, whether it's mask mandates, whether it's dealing with vaccine mandates. Not going to happen under my watch. The fact is we can put out as much science and education as we possibly can across the spectrum, not just from that idiot Anthony Fauci, but from people across the spectrum. There's a lot of science out there that's not being quoted in the media. And we need to look at the full spectrum. For instance, when they closed down the businesses and the schools in the name of health, they weren't looking at the full health spectrum. How about the suicide rate that went up through the roof? How about the fact that drug use and drug overdose that went through the roof? How about the spousal and child abuse that went through the roof? The fact is, when you look at health, you got to look at the total spectrum of things. And I don't think that happened. Now, I know that a lot of the folks out there didn't have a playbook for this stuff, but you know, if you got to have an ideology, and if you're going to default in the name of freedom and people making the right choices for themselves. When I went back to Washington, D.C. to fight against Obamacare, that's why I went back, because I didn't feel the federal government had any role whatsoever in jumping in between a patient and a doctor. And I feel the same way about these kind of decisions regarding vaccinations. That's a personal decision. after researching it for your family and determining what's best, you make the decision. Government shouldn't be there to tell you this is how you have to operate.
Again, this is, you know, there's a certain part of our brothers and sisters in government, unelected or elected, that like the control aspect of this. They also like, you know, they don't have to have meetings in public and deal with the these people bothering them with their concerns. It's really a sick trend that's going on in government, Matt.
And I've seen it really up close and personal. I've been going around to the different school board meetings and trying to testify at some of these meetings. You know, the fact is, I've been involved in the education process just about all my life. You know, I was on the education committee as a state senator, on the education committee in Congress. By the way, I don't feel the federal government should be involved in education. I voted every chance I got to get rid of the Federal Department of Education because I think that that should be a local decision, and it is not in the enumerated powers that Congress was delegated under the Constitution. So I truly do believe that, you know, these school boards, they got to be accountable to people. What are they all about? I mean, they're all about a successful outcome for kids. It's not about systems and protecting systems. And parents are not villains. Everybody knows that the parent is the most important teacher in a child's life, bar none. And we ought to do everything that we can. And when I was involved in the education process, or as I've been involved, all the research shows that the more involved that a parent is in a child's education, the better that child's going to do. We should be welcoming them with open arms in every way, shape, and form. And instead of sticking cameras in the classroom, get parents in the classroom. Get parents' eyes in the classroom and actually have them get personally involved in their kids' education. It's the only way we're going to turn things around.
This idea
of cameras in the classroom. I mean, have you ever heard of Big Brother? Look. Even if a Republican gets elected, the Republican is not going to be in control forever. You really want to give the liberals the opportunity to have cameras in the classroom? Ronald Reagan said it right. The closest thing to eternal life is a government program. You put cameras in the classroom, you're just inviting yourself for trouble and opening up for Big Brother in all kinds of other ways.
Look at the education issue, Matt, on how it turned Virginia around in just 10 months. Right. There's a lot of things that are pissed off, but the education thing really was the one that pushed it over the edge. Right. Critical race theory, the school board that didn't want to deal with the cross-dresser rapist guy, Terry McAuliffe shooting his mouth off about parents shouldn't have input with their kids' education. Education flipped Virginia.
Well, and I think it is the thing that's going to motivate everybody in this country to get off their butts. In fact, I heard one person say, kind of like the admiral of the Japanese fleets, when he bombed Pearl Harbor, he said, "I fear we've awakened the sleeping giant." Well, I guarantee you what, the school boards have across America have awakened the sleeping giant. The parents are no longer on the sidelines, and they are deeply involved. I've seen it up close and personal as I go to these school board meetings, and people are coming out of the woodwork to come and get involved in their kids' education. And I think that's fantastic. I think that's one of the best things that's happened in America in a long time, that people are waking up and understanding that they have the power, and they have the power to take things back and direct the outcome for good of their children. I think that's a great thing.
All right, Matt, go see your Payson veterans. They're waiting for you. So go do your stuff. What's the website for the campaign?
Website for the campaign is Matt Salmon, MattSalmonforAZ.com.
All right,
Chris, good. Thanks a lot. As always, I really appreciate it.
Good talking to you, and hopefully let me know the next time you're in Tucson, all right?
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, that's Matt Salmon running for governor. 790-2040 is the phone number. You're on Wake Up Tucson. I'm going to read you a couple of letters to the Star from about Teddy Pendergrass's Woe Is Me, and then Laura Conover's bizarre column on homicides. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news, talk. Considered one of Australia's greatest groups, the Old Ice Housers had one or two hits in America. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. The link to get your tickets, I've been very remiss as a bad radio show host, is wakeup.gapmin.com. Wakeup.gapmin.com. Amazingly easy to get your ticket. $20. You get to watch Old Big Mouth do a radio show, and you get the most amazing breakfast by Chef John Hone ever. Let me tell you what you're going to get from Jeff. But wait, there's more. Chris's Oatmeal Station. steel-cut oats, brulee bananas, chocolate chips. Then he has berry panna cotas with granola bites, breakfast enchiladas with tomatillo, bechamel, pico de gallo, chorizo tamales with sunny side up egg and chiltepín salsa, breakfast potato croquettes, Joel's breakfast bars. That's going to have a variety of virgin breakfast beverages, including Moscow mules, pina coladas, hot tea, coffee, and ice water for $20, buffet style. So you want to go back and get more? You can do that too. So don't eat the night before, wear the stretchy pants, come hang out with us for a live remote this Friday at Gap Ministries over on Flowing Wells, just south of the Miracle Mile, which I have failed to see any miracles there yet, but I'm still hoping after all these years. All right, there's two letters I want to get out, okay, from, and then I'll get to Laura Conover. This is based on Teddy Pendergrass's Imagine a Life Without the Arizona Daily Star. This is from Jeff St. Clair, Northside. I just read and was devastated by Kurt's dire prediction for the Star, as it looks like a hedge fund may very well buy the Star. That's all hedge funds care about, and they're ruthless and wealthy. What will news coverage look like without the Star? Here's the best one. People will have to... This is the money line that Billy sent me, and he highlighted this perfectly. People will have to rely on blogs from biased sources. What has this man been reading?
See newspaper.
Right? Oh, Tucson Weekly, biased source. Tucson Sentinel, biased source. Wake Up Tucson, biased source. But only three of us in that group say they're journalists. I don't know if you know that or not. I love this one. I don't know what Jeff's smoking up on the north side, which could be, you know, he could be a Pliskin guy, right? We will miss the local investigative journalism. We'll miss the local investigative journalism that only fully staffed local papers provide. And this is the money quote. And the Star does doggedly. And this letter brought by Jeff St. Clair is brought to you by every marijuana dispensary in Pima County. I just love it. There's another one I want to get to. This is the flip one. We might have to wait till after. What do you got for me? You got this is for the weekly Star, and there he is. Sergeant Schultz, my dream is I can get a local trophy company to make a golden Sergeant Schultz. And I would mail one to Tim Steller, Jim Ninsel, and Dylan Smith. So that would be, that's what I have lots of just small little achievable dreams. And one of them is one of our great locally owned trophy companies makes me three Sergeant Schultzers, and I send it to the crew. So, and I always have two or three in my back pocket just in case. So you're on Wake Up Tucson. When we come back, I'm going to read the opposite guy about the Arizona Daily Star, Life Without the Star. And then the other one is Laura Conover's bizarre column. Gunlocks is going to do it. I think we're going to get it this time. So, all right, Billy Idol's birthday. White wedding. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. So I told you guys, my buddy Joe, he lives in New York. He lives on the island, but he had to go into the city. He's sitting in his Uber going to a meeting with his company, and he sees a billboard with today's Billy Idol's birthday, where he says, Billy says, don't idle your car. And if you remember my discussion with John Justice, I remember when he came on the show several months ago, I said, hey, what was the dumb thing Minneapolis, that's where he's doing his show from, what was Minneapolis working on before the coronavirus hit? And he said, oh, yeah, they were working on banning a drive-through at restaurants because of too much idling. So our cracked research staff found the Billy Idol 30-second commercial that he got paid to shill for idling in New York City. Here we go.
Hey, New York, Billy Idol here, rock star and environmentalist.
Yeah!
If you're not driving, shut your damn engine off. Idling is polluting. I mean, bollocks. Are you trying to choke us all? This city has some of the most hardworking, creative, and awesome people. Don't clog our lungs with your car fumes. Billy never idles, so why should you? Shut it off!
That is horrendous.
Learn more at billyneveridles.nyc.
There you go.
Just beautiful. So I was sharing with you guys in the first hour that the Babylon Bee had this great headline, "White smoke emanates from Wuhan lab chimney signaling new variant has been named." And listener Tom put, Hamemus Covidum, which of course they say when they have a pope, they say Hamemus Papum. So well played. Well played, Tom. Listener Jack Call didn't want to go on the air. Just say that Lehman and Push Ridge are doing good things with school performance on the west side of town. That's good to hear. At least northwest side of town, I think. That's where Push Ridge, according to my geographical powers, are. All right, let's get to this other other thing. A sign of the apocalypse. We know Hallmark movies are part of the I know a lot of it is your guilty pleasure. But just to make it worse, we have a Hallmark Christmas movie, like it's on Discovery streaming, whatever, with the Pioneer Woman, Ree Drummond, probably one of the most fake saccharine humans in the world, starring in a Hallmark like movie. Yikes. All right. So right before the break, I read a letter of a guy who, Mr. St. Clair, wrote to the Star, who can't believe people will now have to rely on. He thinks the Arizona Daily Star is unbiased and does amazing investigative journalism. Hilarious. Now let's get to Ryan Bodsworth, not Bodsworth, the football player, Ryan Bodsworth, Eastside. Over the weekend, Kurt Pendergrass wrote a story about how Arizona Daily Star may be out of business within a year, all due to some hedge fund that likes to eliminate local newspapers. Well, here we go. The Star is run by Democrat progressives that the bias is evident in the way they cover issues such as immigration, environment, Republicans, etc. It's especially evident in their political endorsements. In the last election, they endorsed Biden for president. Every Democrat running for Congress, including Mark Kelly, anchor Patrick Ruhlgehalver, and Tom O'Halloran. So I would rather have no local newspaper or one that is staffed with Democrat progressive activists who inject their political views when reporting on local and national issues. I will take the former and just watch local TV news. If the Star does go defunct, maybe someone will develop a local digital newspaper that is fair and balanced and leave their politics at home. Oh, Brian Bosworth, you get the old... Remember I said that yesterday? You already got some of these good writers out there, like Hoffman and stuff. Create the local Tucson digital paper. Right? Look at what Loretta's built at that Arizona Daily Independent. She's still going strong. She looks like she's got good ad revenues. She's going statewide. I think it can be done on the non-progressive side. People are starving for it, man. They're starving for it. So let's get to Laura Conover. She is the Pima County attorney. And she's a special young lady. Now remember, her brother is an actual police officer, Jason Winsky. He's been on the show before. So not only is she the Pima County attorney, but at the same time she has, a relative who's knee deep in what's going on in the world. So let's get to Laura Conover's. So I got to give her credit. She actually does. Well, someone says reasons for homicide spike are varied and maddening. So she actually, the word homicide spike is interesting that she actually said that. So I'm going to give Laura credit for being part. I don't know if she even wrote it, but she does acknowledge there's a horrible, that the homicide spike is varied and maddening. There you go, Laura. I feel like it might get downhill from here. Now, this is interesting. She says the homicide spike that began in 2020 persists. I like how she says it started on March 20th. But then she says it doesn't matter that it coincides with COVID. I like that she says, and it also that it's a spike in every other city in the nation. We don't live anywhere else. We live here and we worry. So that's good. I'm going to give her another little ding, right?
Half a ding. You know, 30% everywhere else, 100%+ here, but...
That's the part she missed, right?
Small detail.
That, you know, maybe our homicide rate is triple the rest of the country.
Small detail.
There's no single trend. Our data review, which is constant, suggests the spike is caused by domestic violence. Now, part of that could be lockdowns. We just talked about that. Gang activity, which is definitely off the wall. Again, all these things where these young people are rolling up on people and just shooting them, that is gang stuff like you would never believe. We are a gang haven, is what we are. I don't know if that's on the Chalupa, on Joe Snell's brochure, but we are a gang haven. Right? And do you think locking kids out of school caused more people to become gang members or less people to become gang members? My argument would be, I think they had a little bit of a recruiting boost from lockdowns at schools. Look at the four kids that killed the Forest Keys in the parking lot, right? Three or four young Hispanic kids in their mom's car. Sounds gang stuff to me. Who knows? But I'm just and again, I keep bringing up that young man who got shot in Jefferson Park, I think it was a history teacher at Saguaro High School, right? Just walking down the street, two young guys. You just showed us, you were working, I mean, one of the stories that came up in the news was how young, not today, but in the last couple of weeks, they just charged some really young kid.
Oh, a 17-year-old, I think.
Yeah.
Or a 16-year-old with a homicide murder or
all these baby face killers is getting really depressing. Okay. So she talks about gang activity, drug sales gone bad. We know drugs are off the wall. And yes, the use of firearms to solve most minor slights and disputes between cousins and rejected lovers, even drivers competing for a parking spot. She says that happened twice this year. People fighting over a parking spot. Our community police officers and deputies are on the front line, responding to violence and working to keep our neighborhoods safe. Now, this is where Laura's going off the rails a little bit because her brother is a cop. She knows about the understaffing problem. But of course, she can't bring it up because, of course, that would mean she would have to criticize Democrats who don't vote for police staffing. Okay? Let's keep going. So then we have her saying the work of this, since she talks about homicide detectives processing this cases, they're working very hard. Then there are people worrying about the contemplating this increase of violence at a macro level. This is the best one. People who are worrying about the violence at the macro level, heads of agencies, the mayor and myself. Has anyone seen the mayor do anything about the macro level of violence in this town? Do you remember her job? Remember one of her campaign promises was to reduce the amount of, quote, gun violence in this town? Do you remember that? I think that was one of her, first things. She made some pledge or joined some cult or I forgot what it was right at what happened, right? Some of the ways we're addressing this might be obvious or what's been done in the past. She talks about how she's getting great prosecutors, even though we know a lot of her lawyers are running away from her left and right. The amount of experience that's abandoned the Pima County Attorney's Office, I'd like to add up the amount of institutional knowledge and law experience we've thrown down the toilet. Okay, we partner with law enforcement and devote every Monday to the resolution of homicides, which produces patterns and intel from which we plot further. Wow. We're working with other partners to normalize the treatment for mental illness and substance use disorders. So then, here's the best one. Our collective response is especially important to you, and because it's the Thanksgiving holiday and our extended family and neighbors are visiting, you're going to love this. She literally, this is one of her solutions. This is a supposedly intelligent woman. Your family and relatives are coming to visit for Thanksgiving, so you can go get, you should get yourself, what's that? That's right, a gun lock. She's literally intimating that you're going to kill each other over Thanksgiving, and it's going to get so hot and heavy that you need to gun lock it. Then take that gun lock and gift it to a person in your life who needs it. Look them in the eye and have a hard conversation gently. Excuse me. So let's see. I posted this up on my social, and there I think there was a couple of good responses here. Listener Keith. So a 250% increase in homicides in the last 10 years, and we get this. Allie Miller. Could it be the new bail program implemented in early 2021? The revolving doors and federal grants with metrics that incentivize lower incarceration numbers, some of them have been proven too dangerous to be on the streets. Right? Oh, Allie gets a ding on that. Sorry. Hold on, Matt. So, excuse me. I was laying back in my chair. I'm okay now.
Shooter over at 29th and Swan a couple weeks ago, released on bail. The guy
who shot the cop who was just sitting in the car.
Right. That guy. And then over at Kino and Irvington, where the freeway dumps out there by Palo Verde in Irvington, where the guy took hostages at the hotel. Same issue.
So let's go to break. When I come back, one of the quotes comes from Sixto Molino, who I like to have on the show. Sixto is the former police chief of Pima County, South Tucson. Been a cop for 35 years. He had a very interesting perspective about staffing that I want to get to before we run out of time. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're doing it all today. Steve Howe, Brian Setzer, we're making it happen for the peeps out there. If you missed anything on the show, Chris's rant about never give money to colleges and give it to real bona fide charitable organizations, KVOI.com. If you missed the Nolan Reedhead, Carlos Ruiz, Chris Ackerley refuting the Frank Antonori, the Pima GOP is bad hour, you can go to KVOI.com. If you missed my interview with Matt Salmon, KVOI.com. Tomorrow we have the great Ed Alexander will be here with Jimmy Bednarik, the history of Tucson radio. And then I'll have Katie Ward, who is part of the Coalition of School Boards. This is the one that wants to replace the Arizona School Board Association, which a lot of people have found to be quite a problem out there. So Katie will make her debut tomorrow. So that should be a blast, as we like to say. Let's get to Sixto Molino. After I just put this whole thing about what was the Jeffrey call? I just noticed that. What did Jeffrey say?
He appreciated your comments following the discussion of Pima GOP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just said, look, work this out behind closed doors, and if somehow you don't get real justice. But the idea that we're talking around each other just doesn't get anyone anywhere. So right. It just gets the people who are the loudest about it, gives them a little ego boost that they get an extra 23 likes on their Facebook post, or they go hang out at the kettle and people say, yay! We're here, we're here to defeat Democrats, people. All right, now, Sixto Molino in response to the Laura Conover piece. From my 35 years of law enforcement in Tucson area, police staffing has everything to do with crime control. police staffing has everything to do with crime control, especially violent crime. During a staffing shortage, police departments can only react to reported crimes where response times are delayed beyond the norm. Does this sound exactly what we're talking about? Okay. This creates a situation where the minor disputes escalate into violent incidents because police do not respond in a timely manner in order to defuse the situation. For the same reasons, officers are more likely to engage in officer-involved shootings. Have you noticed that this year, too? Because backup officers are not readily available. Consequently, they have to handle these dangerous situations by themselves. Period. Also gospel. I've heard this from various... It changes the whole... At the whole dynamic of the confrontation, if you knew there were five officers coming to help you within 5 minutes, you would try to contain the guy more. But if you're now in a gun thing and that, and you don't know if anyone's showing up, that changes what's going to go on. So, you know, having more police officer-involved shootings is not a good thing, kids. For anybody. With proper staffing, police departments can engage in proactive and predictive policing and respond to priority one calls within 3 minutes. Disputes don't have an opportunity to escalate, thus a violent incident is prevented. For crime to occur, one of these two factors is necessary: motive or opportunity. Lack of presence, proper staffing gives the criminals a huge advantage because they have the opportunity to commit crimes and are more than likely not to be caught. There is a lot more I can say about this topic, but I will end it here. Hopefully I've answered your question. I just got to get Sixto on the show. Jesse Lugo, if you're listening, hook me up with Sixto. Give me some direct info to Mr. Sixto Molino, so former police chief of South Tucson, and of course 35 years experience. That is the best explanation of why police staffing, all in one little nutshell, why police staffing matters. I'm going to tell you something. When you hear some of our friends and elected officials out there saying about all the other stuff, right, the mental health stuff and whatever, that's part of the tapestry of what's going on. But if you're not out there properly policing and arresting people doing bad things in a timely manner, this is what you get. You get where we're at as a community. And it's not good. That's where we're at. So again, tomorrow, Katie from the Coalition of School Boards, which is trying to, they're going to try to offer school boards an alternative to the Arizona School Board Association, which is turning out to be problematic. Number two, we have Ed Alexander and Jim Bednarik will be here, and we're going to be talking about the history of Tucson Radio. If you remember, Ed Alexander hired Jim Bednarik and had him come work on his graduation night to do an overnight at KTKT because Ed's guys did a no-show on him. So, very fun and fascinating third hour tomorrow. Now, remember, wakeup.gapmin.com. Wakeup.gapmin.com is the link to book your tickets to the live remote Friday. Great breakfast. We'll have a totally fun show. Very, very, very holiday-ish. Great. And then remember, a week from today is our amazing Christmas party on the plaza at St. Phillips. Grant Kruger and the crew, Reforma Proof, and Union Public House. There are beautiful fire pits outside, couches. There'll be Christmas trees. You'll have the Tucson Boys Chorus. It'll just be a very fun night to finish the year together.
Looking forward to that.
So please join us a week from today. So, Matthew Neely, thank you for your efforts today.
Have a great day, Chris.
It was a very fun show. We laughed, we cried, we kissed 3 hours goodbye, as we like to say. We will see you tomorrow, 21 hours from today. If you really wanted to hear my pathetic voice again, go to KVOI.com. If you want to find out more about me and also great local restaurants, go to DeSimoneHQ.com. Haven't said that one in a while. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice.